In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is that old man at the bottom of the icon of Pentecost? It's you. It's me. It's everyone who lives his life in darkness, functioning as though he were the king or the queen of the world. It's King Cosmos. That old man, he's a male figure. In past times, that wouldn't have been a problem for people. But in order to communicate to us today that King Cosmos is us, I guess you would have to do something like those little double images where you turn them one way and you can see one figure, and you turn them just a little bit more, your perspective changes, you can see the other. Well, icons are about perspective. King Cosmos is one of those. If you looked at it like this, you would see a king. And if you looked at it like that, you would see a queen. Because it means both of us. King, queen. We all do this. It's not gender specific. In earlier centuries and earlier generations, King Cosmos, everybody would understand. It means us as human beings. It isn't just about men. It isn't just about women. It's about both of us. There are emperors and empresses in equal distribution. This is how all of us live. King Cosmos, there he stands in darkness with the crown of the authority of power in this world on his head. Every year somebody wants to know who that guy is. We as Americans are all crowned kings of our own lives. That means you are in the darkness. You are not receiving the light of Pentecost. Above him, there sit the apostles. It is the day of Pentecost. They are receiving the light of Christ. It's been said that the icon of Pentecost is kind of like an hourglass. The upper part of the hourglass, the upper globe of the hourglass, is where the apostles are. And the bottom part of the hourglass is where King Cosmos is. And the sand passing through the hourglass is the light that Christ is, the light of the world, that is now present in the world, wherever the Holy Spirit is. On Pentecost, the light of Christ in the Holy Spirit is given. It comes down and there is a flame of fire resting on the head of everyone who is there. Not just the 12 apostles, of course, incidentally, and if you know the apostles by sight from icons, you'll realize that some of the people there, some of those 12, are not the historical 12 apostles. One of them is St. Paul. He was an apostle, but he wasn't one of the 12 that historically followed Christ until the time of the crucifixion. And so the 12 apostles sitting there, like those who were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they don't just stand for themselves, they stand for all of those who received the Holy Spirit on that day. For all of those who have received the Holy Spirit since the day of Pentecost. They stand for all of the saints who have received the Holy Spirit. Down in the bottom, King Cosmos stands for us. We have received the Holy Spirit, yes, we have been baptized. But do we live the gospel in the world? Do we reveal the presence of Christ? Are we living saints who, through the Holy Spirit, pass the light of Christ in our lives on to others? Or do we live like kings of this world and have a little place set aside for the gospel? King Cosmos is holding a blanket, and on that blanket there are 12 scrolls. Those 12 scrolls are a reference to the fact that he and we, who live as the kings of our lives in the world, have received the gospel of Christ. We have the wholeness, we have the fullness of the gospels. And you could say, well, there are four gospels, there's not 12. Why are there 12? Each one of the apostles is a living gospel. What was given to us was not a book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the written icon of Christ. Christ gives himself to us. God comes into the world in order to give himself to us. God comes into the world in order to share his life with us, God comes into the world in order to make it possible for us to live the human lives that He created us to live, which we cannot live unless we are at one with Him, unless His Spirit fills us, unless the power of death that controls and rules our lives and threatens us to the point that we want to gain enough power of this world in order to be able to rule our own lives out of fear of death, that fear has come to an end for a Christian. That fear no longer rules our lives. Christians are the members of the body of saints, the body of Christ. In the Holy Spirit, they are receiving the life of God incarnate, and they are passing it on to others. When we are in the presence of such a person, we know that this is something different. This person is not living by way of an effort to control the power of the world to the point that they have some kind of security, to the point that they have respect. This person is living with a life that comes from somewhere else. That's why God came into the world, in order to give us that kind of life, in order to give us the ability to live that kind of life. And before everyone, all of us, gets too discouraged, because obviously we are more like King Cosmos than we are like the apostles, the saints, who are passing on the life of Christ as human beings are called to do as Christians. We don't want to get too discouraged about it, because it is a spiritual movement that we are engaged in, making the effort to turn our faces toward the light and receive light. What is necessary is not losing our bearings, orientation. That's the important thing. So long as we know which way is up, we can turn away from the world. If we lose our bearings and we believe in the world and our life is a constant effort to try to gain enough control over the next 24 hours so that we can feel secure, then we are disoriented. All we are called upon to do is the next task at hand, to do it as well as we possibly can, humbly and to the glory of God. We are not the masters of the universe. We are not King Cosmos, unless we take that crown and put it on our own heads. And then all of a sudden, the weight of the world descends upon our shoulders. We are the center of everything. We are the king of our own lives. But that's not reality. There is a heavenly king. When we're in that condition, we're not receiving light from God. Christ came into the world and did all of the work that He did, including the cross and His resurrection and ascension, so that He could send this power, this life of the heavenly King, down upon us on Pentecost. And it's up to us to wake up from our delusion, our illusion that we are the central authority in our own lives, and receive the light that is the life of the Holy Spirit. Every king is the same. Every worldly king is the same. They are all trying to keep other people from finding out that they don't have the ability to fulfill this task that they've taken upon themselves. That's why we all confront one another with a certain sense of embarrassment. Some of us are better at hiding it than others. We are really not capable of doing life the way we are claiming that we can do it. All of us are in this condition. Everybody's heard the story about the emperor with no clothes. He tries to act like he's fine. Of course, I'm quite capable of being emperor. I'm quite capable of being the king. I'm quite capable of being the president. They always introduce the president very formally. Dun, 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 dun. Does he have the power and the authority to be able to do all of the things that he is expected to be able to do? Does anyone have that kind of power and authority? No, they don't. It's an impossible task that he is given. But he has to bear up, just like every other king that's ever been, every other emperor that's ever been, and just like every one of us individually, and pretend that we are in charge, we are in control, we are able to deal with things as they come, there isn't anything that we can't handle, because, you know, the jackals are at your heels. And the jackals, who's that? Well, that's everybody else. Everybody that's trying to uncover the fact that I can't be the person that I claim to be. And the better we are at making the claim, the more ridiculous we seem to those who see the emperor has no clothes. He is not vested in the power to be able to live life the way he tries to live it. This simply is not the reality, the nature of our human lives. No one is able to pull it off. No one. The way life is supposed to be, if we want to see the way that is, we have to look to the Gospels. We have to turn to more than the fact that we hold the truth in our hands, the fullness of the Gospels, and realize that they're not just scrolls. Jesus used to say to the Jews, "You have Moses and the prophets. If they're not enough, you're in a lot of trouble." It could be said to us, "You have the Gospels. You have the 12 Gospels," by which we mean you have the living examples of saints who have lived lives like Christ. It is possible. You know what it means to live that kind of life. That is what you should be oriented toward. That is what you should be moving toward. The grace of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all of us. It's a matter of whether or not we are willing to receive it and take off the crown of pretending that we are the kings and queens of our own lives. This is the crown that we have to take off. All of the world is not a stage for every individual actor with me and you in the central role. That is not reality. That's theater. That's theater. Life as theater. We have been given everything. The truth of the incarnate Son of God. The truth of the saints living a life like the incarnate Son of God. Lives driven by the wind of the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful image that the Blessed Theophylact uses. He talks about how we are like ships. We're not like ships that didn't exist in his time. Self-powered ships that have their own engines. That's not what we're like. We are not like ships that have their own internal combustion engine that drives them, that powers them, and we just need to fill them full of fuel, some fuel of this world. No, what Blessed Theophylact means is that we are like sailing ships. He says that sailing ship, in order to move, must have a mast, and the mast must have wind. He says that the sail of a sailing ship is the weakest part of the ship. It's the part that can be broken right off. The rest of the ship is strong. The rest of our life, except for what moves us, powers us, and the direction that we ought to go, it's all strong. We are competent, each one of us, to live and do the things that we are good at doing. Everybody's good at doing something. And we are actually most satisfied when we're doing whatever it is that we are particularly and especially good at doing at, focusing on that particular task, not trying to rule the universe, but just doing what we are good at doing and doing it well. But without the mast, the ship won't be going anywhere. It won't be moving. The sail of the ship that a human being is needs to be filled with the wind that is the Holy Spirit. That's what moves the ship. We have to have the wind filling the sail that can move us as human beings are meant to move. When we pray, we should turn off our internal combustion engine. We should turn off our self-powered engine. We should turn off our will and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let it fill our sails. In order to have that happen, we have to realize that we need something beyond this world, something from beyond ourselves, that there is, in the first place, something beyond ourselves. We need to not forget that. God is not just something that I want to make a place for so that I can balance my life out reasonably. God is not just whatever I happen to worship. God is beyond this world, the creator of the world, the creator of ourselves. When we pray, we need to stand before him and realize that we need to have our souls, our sails, filled with this wind that will move us in love toward him, in love toward others. We need to keep oriented to moving in that direction. And then we can do all the things that we're good at. The ship is still there. But we have to have a driving force in our lives that is not ourselves and isn't of the world. We need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not once and done, not at once at baptism, not on a special occasion, but every hour of the day, in order to keep moving. If our lives are going to be filled with joy and the love of God and the love of others, then we have to receive this gift constantly. And when we pray, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere and fillest all things, treasury of blessings, giver of life, come and abide in us. Cleanse us from every impurity and save our souls, O Good One. When we pray that prayer to the Holy Spirit, we are asking that the empty soul that we have that is just standing there waiting, like King Cosmos is standing there waiting, just kind of looking up, what's going to happen next? That emptiness needs to be filled with the rushing wind that came into the room and filled the souls and remade the hearts of the apostles and the disciples who were gathered in that upper room. Today is the day of Pentecost. We will have the kneeling vespers after the coffee hour, where we kneel and ask for the descent of the Holy Spirit. We do this annually, but we should be doing it daily with our prayer to the Heavenly King. Every day after this will be a day after Pentecost. You know, when Pentecost comes, every Sunday after Pentecost is called first Sunday after Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost, all the way around throughout the church year. Tomorrow is the first day after Pentecost. Every day is a day after the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Every day should be another day when we refill ourselves with the Holy Spirit and are moved, as the saints are moved, by this wind of the Holy Spirit. That's what is meant to move a human being's life. That's what moves the church. The church, what is it? It's the saints, and it's us too, along with the saints, those who are called to be saints, those that St. Paul calls saints, because he calls all of the people in all of the places that he writes to the saints at this particular place, and we are the saints at Tekoa. We are called to be among the saints. We are called to fill our sails with this wind of the Holy Spirit. The apostles and all of the saints that we know, their souls are filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit. We call the church sometimes a ship. That's why the ship moves. It doesn't happen without human beings. God is not the kind of God who just says, I want this ship to go from here to there. No, he wants human beings to participate in his life. And the church is made up of human beings who are part of the body of Christ, another way of talking about it other than a ship, so that we can participate in this life. That's how the church is, and that's how our lives are too. Let's not remake our way of understanding Christianity into some other kind of faith where King Cosmos can be a practicing Christian. He's not, and you can't be. He is waiting. You can see he is standing there. He is waiting. He has everything he needs, but he's not doing anything with it. And he is surrounded by darkness. He is a king in the darkness, a king that has the authority of this world. There is a difference between living life like that, just waiting. What is it? Maybe he's waiting for the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's just waiting day after day. Sometimes we feel like that. Just doing the same old thing every day. Same old thing. I'm in charge of my life. If that's our condition of despair, we have ennui. We have ennui because we are a member of the nobility. Everything is the same old thing. That's King Cosmos. If that's how our life is, then we are not doing anything with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have received. It is not the living light of the Holy Spirit. We need to open ourselves up to God. Open our hearts, open our lives, so that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's always there, always available to us, but if we have closed our minds and closed our hearts and demand to have complete and absolute authority over our own lives, continue to live life as the old Adam, the old king, the old Eve, the old empress, then we have closed ourselves off, like King Cosmos. You can see the light trying to get through if you look at the icon, but it hasn't gotten through to him. Prayer is when we intentionally turn toward God and open ourselves up to him, stand in his presence, and say, I am ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I am ready to begin living my life in this transformed way. I lay down my claim to absolute authority over my own life. I no longer fear death. That is the outcome of all of the work of Christ. That is what Pentecost is about. That is what the fact that every day after Pentecost is called the day after Pentecost, the week after Pentecost. You know, it used to be that you could divide life into two parts, the sacred and the profane. That's gone. We do it today. We have our profane life, our ordinary everyday life. Doesn't mean evil, incidentally. It just means every day. We have the rest of the week, our profane life, our non-sacred life, and then we have special and set aside the divine liturgy, Sunday, feast days. Those are different. We want to keep them apart, the sacred and the profane. That was destroyed by Christ. There is no division into ordinary everyday life and a sacred life. Our ordinary everyday life is going to be a sacred and holy life. Now, maybe we fall down and have to get up and confess, but we know which way is up. We know where the center is. We know when we've messed up and we know when to confess. We can't just resolve our dilemma by dividing our lives into sacred and profane. Every day is a day after Pentecost. Every week is a week after having received this light that Christ died and ascended in order to send into our lives. There is no ordinary life anymore. There is no ordinary life for a Christian. All of our life is meant to be the life of the holy ones of God, that God gave his life in order to give us that share in his holiness. That's the truth. We may know it. We may be holding it in our little blanket or towel, just like King Cosmos, and living an ordinary everyday life. But if you're a little uncomfortable with that, then you're starting to wake up, starting to kind of cock an eye and realize that the day has dawned. This is a new life. We don't need to live our lives like this. We can begin to live in the light of Christ, filled with this wind of the Holy Spirit that comforts us and gives us joy and fills our lives with divine meaning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.